Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Full Force Newsburst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris, Final Fight McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On this instalment of your favourite kind of burst, I am joined by Adam, Final Destination Riches, to discuss the club's final 12 reveals and club exclusives. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this newsburst. Earlier today, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club revealed the last figure in their final action figure offering for fans as their license comes to a close in just a few months' time. We had already seen reveals of the figure mock-ups at JoeCon earlier in the year in Chattanooga, but we have been getting final figure images of these sub-team characters for the last few weeks, finally ending with Slaughter's Marauders Lowlight today. Pre-orders are set to go live later this month, so keep an eye out for that on their website and, of course, right here with the Full Force. I am joined by Adam Riches now as we go through these figures and sets one at a time. How are you, Adam?
I'm ready for the final countdown. You know, I'm good, like always. And yourself?
Yes, fantastic. Excited to chat through these as well. Obviously, we're going to be talking not just about the final 12, but the exclusive sets as well. Let's start with the first kind of action figure reveal, even though we've seen all these things already. I don't really want to call it a reveal, but I suppose they are final product reveals, aren't they? So
yeah, don't you feel like a weird, like, bittersweet, like, even though we'd already seen these months ago, with when you knew the final reveal came, like, oh, that's it. And I was like, even though we already had this months ago.
Yes. I felt like we're not going to have that anymore when day to day I'm refreshing the G.I. Joe website, the club website, going, come on, I want to see what this is. Even though this time we'd seen it. It wasn't one of those things where we got a list of names. We actually got to see the images. Now, the images revealed at JoeCon, we should probably explain this just in case people aren't aware. The ones that revealed at JoeCon were Photoshop mock-ups. They weren't final figure reveals. What these have been in the last couple of weeks, so the actual final product in hand with the club and them taking pictures and showing them off. So we're actually seeing now what the figures will look like. The decos and all that kind of stuff is now pretty much in stone, and the builds too. So we thought we'd kind of go through them and just kind of have a look at each individual exclusive set and figure two packs as well. So let's start with the three pack of Cobra Night Stalkers. Adam, I mean, excited about this one, or is this another one of those ones where it's like, you know, we've seen this quite a lot of times in a short period of time?
Yeah, I mean, the only one thing that I can say that's really cool about these, as far as I know, is I believe this is the first ever black female Cobra character, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Prior to this, they'd done the Undertow Officer, but that's Iron Grenadiers, not Cobra, technically. So
nice. Good technicality.
Yeah, so that's a pretty cool little footnote for that, I guess. But other than that, I mean, it's because we already had the one in the 50th three-pack, and then the previous blue three-pack from the club, and the previous single-carded black one in the FSS. It's like, to now have even more of these just in black, it's like, well, I mean, you know, I'm always up for building the Cobra troop army, but it's not exactly something that I'm losing my mind over either.
Yeah, it was almost expected that this was going to happen in any case, wasn't it? There was always an expectation that, well, we've had the regular female Cobra Trooper officer, and we've had the three-pack that followed it. So it was almost went to kind of, you know, everyone seemed to go, well, we'll expect a three-pack once they saw the Night Stalker officer in the FSS.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a high expectation on that one.
I mean, I do think it's cool that they kind of act as a nice companion piece to the Dollar General black Cobra officer figure.
Ooh, yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of neat that you can build a little squad now. But other than that, you know, take it or leave it on these.
In actual fact, you've got the Crimson Shadow Guard. You've got the Black Cobra Commander. You've got the black off the actual, you know, male trooper and officer. That could be quite a cool little team you could build up there. You're right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But
you could also do the same thing in red too, with several figures. So you could have your whole Rainbow Cobra army if you want.
That's actually true. But yeah, we just need the females in red now, don't we? Come on, club. Pull your fingers out.
We have Red Baroness, so we're a little bit
close enough. Close enough. Yeah. What about then, well, let's talk about the Zartan with motorcycle, because that really is freaking awesome, I think. What are your thoughts on the Zartan, first and foremost?
I love it. I mean, you know, like every figure, of course, new tooling could have gone towards it to kick it up just a little bit. But considering that we knew we weren't going to be getting any new tooling, I think this is an incredible build.
Big time. That is that is an inspired use of that trooper head, isn't it? That retaliation trooper head.
Oh, it really is, because I had thought for a long time if they were going to do Ninja Force. I was kind of raking my brain, like, well, what could you use? And the only thing that a lot of people were coming up with was the Sergeant Smasher head, but obviously that's meant for a really big buck, which Zartan isn't.
Yeah.
And even that, like, because he had kind of the more like the short mohawk, that didn't really work. So, yeah, very inspired build. I thought that this was a really brilliant use of parts.
I must admit, this Zartan is one that is ticking a lot of boxes for me. And also to kind of put in with the motorbike was quite a nice touch. But again, there were thoughts here that, you know, you just brought out the monkey heart wrencher and and the ground assault kind of stinger kind of thing. And I thought, well, you know, that wouldn't it have been great if we'd have got like a Skyhawk, you know, something to kind of tie into that dreadnought ground assault. And air assault.
Yeah, and especially knowing that the ram cycle tooling does exist in modern era is kind of like an extra bummer to that. Because I actually think that it would have been cheaper to produce that because it's a less involved mold. It doesn't have as many separate components, and it would have kind of been a nice throwback. Plus, I think the more outlandish color scheme of that would have complemented Zartan nicely.
Yeah. I wonder if they had a bit of excess on the motorbikes. What do you think? Do you think, I mean, because there's got to be a case sometimes when they overproduce these things. Do you think there's a case of that here from a Hasbro point of view? Or would they have just destroyed everything?
No, I don't think it's that. I think that it was more just because this tooling had only ever been used once. And the original one from Pursuit of Cobra that came with why am I blanking on his name?
Yeah, the one with the face bandana.
So Storm Rider, is that his name?
Storm Rider, yes.
All right, I didn't even have to look at Yo-Yo. Anyway, yeah, I think that because that motorcycle hasn't been reused since then, and that piece has shot up quite a bit in value now, I think it was just an opportunity to get that back to market somehow.
I do think it's a nice touch, and obviously with the Dreadnoughts being a biker gang, I've been surprised at the lack of motorcycles in the line anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Ever since kind of vintage and everything, but yeah, that's awesome.
The only one little minor gripe I have on the Zartan figure itself is that the deco on the original, the 93 figure, his pants are like nuclear green. And it would have been cool if they had brought that over to this, but he's a little bit more toned down and not quite as outlandish, but that's okay. He's still awesome.
We'll get to it in a little bit later as well when we look at some of the final 12, but it's weird how they make subtle little decos for some characters and they go balls deep on others. I just don't understand the kind of mindset on why that's happening. Like, I kind of feel like if you're going to go all out, just go all out, you know. You're with, you know, the fans will probably accept that, just as they would probably accept if they just went all subtle tones just to kind of modernize it. But again, I don't know where the decisions kind of stem from that point of view. Let's give those first two sets a bit of a rating, Adam, for now. So if we start with the Night Stalkers, what would you give that out of a 5 potato rating?
I think on their own merits, they're quite good, probably a 4, just because of how many times we've seen those characters in different decos or whatever. Now it's probably more like a 2.5. It's just a real middle of the road for me. It's nothing against the figures, it's just more the overuse of them.
Yeah, so we're kind of more at a 3 on that one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 3.2 3 as well, and that way we can sit at 3 on that. But Zartan, man, I'm going 4.5, and it would have got the 5 if, like you say, new tooling could have made it pop just that much better, and the nuclear green.
Yep, I'm right there with you, 4.5. It's like you said, exactly. If it had just those little tweaks, could have put it over the edge. But even as it is right now, it's a great figure.
I'll give you some little tweaks at the end of the show. So that moves us on then to the final 12 and the first 2-pack that we believe are going to be packaged together from the club's own mouths have said this. It's Coils O' Doom and Black Spider Rendezvous. So let's start with Coils. What were your thoughts on this one when it first popped up?
Well, when it first popped up...
Oh?
When Coils of Doom was first revealed in the panel at JoeCon, I think the initial reaction was kind of more like a, huh?
Yeah.
Because they alluded to it being some kind of joke around the office, but none of us knew the punchline, or at least I didn't, and I was kind of like, okay. But it turns out that, and I only just discovered this recently, because while I have a virtually encyclopedic knowledge 3¾ Joe. I really don't know all that much about vintage 12-inch stuff.
Yeah.
In 1975, there was an Adventure Team set called Trapped in the Coils of Doom, and it's about the Adventure Team Joe battling this giant snake. And so his name is a play on that.
Oh, nice.
And so it makes, the joke, if you want to call it that, makes a lot more sense now because of that.
I see.
And then obviously the other thing, even though we don't know, well, I do, but we don't know what the exact connection yet is between Coils of Doom and Crimson Asp, but that's the other thing is clearly if you look at the deco, there is some kind of visual connection there. And so that's a pretty neat thing. So I think while my initial reaction to this figure was kind of like, huh, I really warmed up to it. And now I actually like it quite a bit. And I'm really happy, actually, that they included a new character in the final 12.
I'm in the same boat as you. This is one of those figures I just wasn't that interested in. But actually, when you take obviously it's kind of like a new character, but it's a new, when it was talked about that it was a joke around the office and everything, it kind of really made me think, oh really, like why should I care about that? Do you know what I mean? Like I don't really know why that's got anything to do with the fans or anything, especially when the joke wasn't like really out there for people to know about. And then now that you've mentioned that, it kind of makes a lot more sense. But anyway, before you even mentioned that, and I wasn't aware of that, I must throw my hands up there, that about the Coils of Doom set, or at least I wasn't aware of the connection between the two, because I'm an idiot. But when I actually saw the reveal of the actual figure, I was like, actually, this is pretty bad. Like, it's a good use of the cesspool head again. Like, and again, obviously, getting to use that again is pretty, pretty awesome. But I really like the way the figure looks. Like, I really like that build. And I love the fact he comes with a little snake as well. I think that's really cute. And I'm not all that against his partner in crime, Black Spider Rendezvous. And that is this kind of like the black suited helicopter backpack, kind of, you know, like the 12-inch Black Spider. I think it was the Black Widow Rendezvous. I've seen it written in catalogs, but it might have been Black Spider Rendezvous as well, because I've seen it in a catalog, and I'll flash it up on the video, where it does say Black Widow Rendezvous for the 12-inch version. Plaid Stallions, shout out to them, because they've got some amazing Action Man and G.I. Joe catalog images that they put up on their Twitter page all the time, and they're hilarious. But I've kind of warmed to that character a little bit more now because of my research into the 12-inch and looking at those figures and looking at the catalogs and seeing that particular 12-inch figure in the catalog. And I've been doing these like little photoshops for, you know, just for fun on the Facebook page. I did the Tiger Force, entire Euro Tiger Force team on their original catalog dio, but I kind of, you know, I had to obviously photoshop it quite heavily because you know, like actually basically make a new one just but with that kind of background in mind. And then I did the same with the Sonic Fighters recently, and we'll get to that in a sec. But when I was looking for catalog stuff for this, obviously there's only the Black Spider Rendezvous figure on a page with a load of other 12-inch figures. And obviously not having Coils of Doom there, I'm struggling to see how I can do like a cute kind of dio picture for it. So I'll think of something. I don't think anyone really cares that hard, but but I will think of something with that. Now, I have definitely warmed to both of them because of, you know, not really being connected in the first place. Like, I do love a lot of the 12-inch stuff, but I'm not deep in the game. So there's a lot of things that pass me by, and it's not until I research them afterwards that I start getting really excited about them. Was that the same for you with this figure, Black Spider, or not?
Yeah, well, I do want to correct one little thing you said. In 2002, Hasbro released a 12-inch Timeless Collection figure that actually is called Black Spider Rendezvous. That is literally just a 12-inch version exactly matched to this figure.
Awesome.
So that's kind of a neat little thing, I guess, if you're a 12-inch fan. Yeah, this one initially was another one of those. I know there's always the endless debate for all time of wasted spots. And I think, you know, as everyone knew that the club's license was going to be ending, that debate has increased. And it's, you know, there's certainly merits to it, but I think ultimately it's impossible to please everyone because we all have our favorites. I really, really liked the 2010 Adventure Team 4-inch figures that the club did. And I always wondered why they didn't do more. And I'm actually really on board for this figure. I think just because that head that was used for those Adventure Team guys, as well as Joe Colton, every figure that's been used on is pretty expensive on the secondary market now. And it's all long sold out. And so if you wanted to acquire another one of those just to have it, or for the sake of customs or whatever, you haven't really had many opportunities in the last, you know, 7 or 8 years now. So I'm glad that that's getting one final use. But beyond that, I just think this is a really cool, like, kind of nice, generic, like spy mission kind of outfit. Like the and it almost harkens back to me to the 1994 convention fighter pilot figure.
Yeah.
It's just a really like sleek design. Like he just looks like a cool like undercover agent or something. If you really look at it, he's got all these intricate like straps and buckles and stuff sculpted all over him. Kind of looks like when Archer goes on his like, you know, gator spy missions or something. Like I can really get behind that.
Oh, so, he's gonna be my Archer figure from now on.
Yeah,
But I'm not against that. And I know that a lot of people, I know that a lot of kind of fans, they like what they like. You know, they like their original 13, or they like their 86, 87, or they like their Valor versus Venom, or they like their Sigma 6, or whatever it is. I know lots of fans have their focuses, and that's where they sit, and that's where they see G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe's much bigger than just one era, one like iteration. It is massive, and it has been going and going and going. And I don't think that we should completely, just because you like something specifically, I don't think you should just completely dismiss things, you know, that other people might enjoy. You know, like I mean, I wasn't initially a fan of the fact they were doing two, you know, 12-inch figures, or, you know, Coils O'Doom and Black Spider Rendezvous. I wasn't like a massive fan of it, but at the same time, it's grown on me after doing a bit of research. And I think getting a little bit more like knowledge about something and seeing the history of it really does build a lot of my kind of interest and like intrigue of a lot of these figures. And it's going to be the same, I think, when we talk about the Tiger Force stuff next. And we'll start with that the first two pack, which we believe is going to be Tiger Force Tunnel Rat and Tiger Force Psycount. Now, when... and we'll do all of the potatoes at the end. Now, when we look, when like this was revealed and they were going to be doing the Euro exclusive Tiger Force, yes, I was f-ing, like over the moon, because when we got out back and sneak peek a couple years back in the FSS, when that was revealed at JoeCon, people have already forgotten this, but I stood up and I screamed, like I actually screamed at the top of my voice. And like, it's funny how the same thing happened, but in a much bigger way at the last JoeCon when these were revealed and involved me running around the room and rolling around on the floor and just screaming at the top of my voice, being very thankful, and even running up on stage and kissing a number of the club.
Sure they just loved that.
They were all about that. They loved it. Now, I have seen a lot of backlash with the Tiger Force stuff. A lot of people saying, you know, who picks the colors and why the hell, you know, is Tunnel, why the hell is like Tunnel Rat in the Tiger Force? And I kind of feel like saying sometimes, guys, how are you not aware of this stuff? How are you not aware that this was a vintage figure back in the day? Like it, but again, it's that focus. It's that this is what G.I. Joe is to me, and I don't care about anything else around it. And okay, fair enough if that's not your bag. Why do you feel the need, especially with this, where you're going to be able to pick and choose what you want to buy? Like, you know, you don't have to buy it if you don't want to, but other people do want it. So it's kind of like, I don't feel the need to be so butthurt about something along those lines. Like, there are things that have come out in the past that I haven't given two shits about, but I bought it anyway because of a, you know, the completist attitude, like the jetpacks. But less said about that, the better. Now, Tunnel Rat and Psycout, I think, are amazing. And Psycout more so than the end of the others, because I had Psycout as a kid, and this was the only Psycout I had as a kid, and I absolutely adored that color scheme. What do you think about these two initial Tiger Force releases, Adam?
Well, to circle back to what you were saying about Black Spider and Coils of Doom, about how you like them more when you did research, I totally agree with that. And I think for me, half the fun of G.I. Joe is finding out all about all the minutiae and all the foreign stuff and the unreleased stuff and the concept case and everything else, because it weaves a rich tapestry of fandom, I guess. You know, I hate to be so trapped in on this one, you know, 12-year period of our lives that we just regurgitate endlessly. Like, I love 82 to 94 as much as anyone, but it's a breath of fresh air to me. And actually, the first time that I ever saw the UK Tiger Force stuff was in 1994. Comic Images released a set of trading cards for the 30th anniversary of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And they had all kinds of cool, like, concept art and foreign stuff. And that was the first time that I'd ever seen any of that, like, Lethal, any, you know, because obviously in the pre-internet world, that stuff, that info wasn't as easy to come by.
Yeah.
Probably much the same for you in the UK. You probably didn't know about everything we were getting in the US. It was, you know, so it was a really cool exchange of info to see that stuff for the first time.
Absolutely.
As far as these two specifically, Psych Out is a definitely a special one for me because he is the first foreign figure I ever got, the vintage one, obviously, at Kate's Comics and Collectibles in Lauderhill, Florida. I just was in there one day looking through their G.I. Joes, and I see a Psych Out wearing this Fred Flintstone shirt, and I was like, what the hell is this, you know?
Yabba dabba doo!
I got it for steal. It was like $2 or something. It's awesome. Like, yeah. And I knew as soon as I saw it that it was obviously, you know, something special.
You're going to hate me in a second when I talk about my vintage Tiger Force figures.
Sure. I already hate you. Why would you say it? But so I was in a special place for that Psych Out, and I think that they just did an awesome job on him. Like, they just nailed it. It's a very solid representation of the vintage. And of course, that head sculpt, which was made specifically for Psych Out for the club and has now seen his original version, his Knife Force version, and now Tiger Force. I'm glad that we got three great uses out of that.
Agreed.
Nothing bad to say about that figure at all. I love it. Tunnel Rat, again, real cool. The only minor thing about this is just that, and I guess when you look at them next to each other, they actually are pretty significantly different, but we had just gotten the
Sonic Fighters. Yeah,
Sonic
of course.
Fighters.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, when I looked at it, I was like, it's not the same, but it is very similar. And I guess, you know, we'll have this same talk when we get to the Slaughter's Marauders about, you know, the barbecue and lowlife. But yeah, it's close. But then at the same time, it's like, if they hadn't done it, I think I would have felt cheated knowing that we'd gotten all the other Tiger Force guys and not him. So I don't have like a strong love for that one the way I do for Psych Out, but I'm still happy to have it, and I think it's a pretty good representation of the vintage figure.
I think, yeah, you're right. I think the Tunnel Rat's a funny one because of that. It's that kind of Renegades version, isn't it? So it's not like necessarily a direct representation of the original vintage figure, but it is a good upgrade, that figure anyway, in general. And you're right, that Sonic Fighters one, I remember seeing that, and then when I saw the reveal of the Tiger Force, I'm like, people are going to be moaning that it's exactly the same. I can just see it now. But no, I'm just really happy that we've got a completed team. We've actually got a completed foreign team as well. It's not even like a, you know, like one of these things where it's like a US team has been put together. This is a foreign, like, release group of figures, and I'm just blown away that we've got them completed now, or we will do very soon. Tunnel Rat, I love Tunnel Rat anyway. Like, that figure's nuts. It's got like the orange and black bandana. It's got a yellow neckerchief. It's got like a maroon top, blue trousers. It's like every color they can think of is in there, and it works. Like, I love it. And a big shout out to Josh Engelhart, because we were just at Assembly Required, and that was a Tiger Force theme. And I dressed up as Hit and Run, Tiger Force Hit and Run. Kate was Tiger Force Outback, and Josh was Tiger Force Tunnel Rat. So it was like the UK or the Euro exclusive little team that we had going on, which is a lot of fun. So big shout out to you, Josh, and Kate, for obviously being the awesome Outback figure. Funny enough, it's like two of the guys that shouldn't have beards. Beards, and the one person that should have had a beard didn't. We kind of completely threw that on its head. What I was going to say to you about my vintage collection was that over the years in the UK, I would pick up lots. I would buy, you know, loads of like vintage, you know, lots of figures, you know, no weapons or anything half the time, but just like, you know, cases and cases of these things came through me, I suppose. And that sounds gross. And it basically turned out that I ended up with four Tiger Force Outbacks. And this is no word of a lie. And like, I've got my original Tiger Force Outback complete, and then the rest of them were just picked up in lots. So I've got four of them. I've got three sneak peeks, you know, again, through lots, three Tiger Force sneak peeks. I have two Tiger Force Blizzards, because they're really hard to come by in any case. But this was way before it got like that popularity and the prices went up. Again, we're talking like all for a load of, you know, a lot of figures in a shoebox kind of thing. And then three Tunnel Rats now. None of those Tunnel Rats are my original, because I didn't have the original. Oh, and Psych Out. I've got my original Psych Out as a kid. And then five other Psych Outs. It was just the fact that these were so, they were just all over the place. Like, they were everywhere. And if you got a lot, there was loads of times when you'd see Sonic Fighters figures in there, you'd see Tiger Force stuff in there constantly. And I've just literally got this huge amount of Tiger Force figures. I took a picture years ago when I was living back in the UK, like years ago, of like an open top of all my loose figures in baggies. And on the top there were all those Tiger Force figures. And someone posted and said, like, oh my God, I hate you so much. There are so many awesome Tiger Force figures. And that was before they were really lucrative. And now, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even want to know what they're going loose because it scares me. But when I go back to the UK, I might even start putting them on eBay or throwing them around to people that might want them. We'll see. But yes.
Or you could be a good friend and give me a set, but... Oh, I'm sure that a 1985 plutonium is available at every corner drugstore. But a 1955, it's a little hard to come by.
That's so true. Tiger Force was the Back to the Future plutonium of its day. Yes. Okay, well, let's move on then to Hit and Run and Tiger Force Blizzard quickly. What do you think about those two figures, dude?
All right.
Start with Hit and Run.
Here's where you start to lose me a little. I love the insane deco of the UK Tiger Force. I don't feel like they actually belong in the US Tiger Force. Like, I almost feel like they're their own sub-team.
Agreed. They're a sub of a sub-team in my head, too.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, they look awesome. Hit and Run, to me, is such a cool character.
Be careful.
You know, because he's you know, we've said before in the FSS battles and stuff, you know, the fact that he had the green skin and, you know, he really stood out. And I feel like this version of him kind of takes away that uniqueness. And he just becomes like a construction worker. Like, he's just like a guy wearing a blue shirt and a hat, you know.
Yeah.
He's still very eye catching visually just because of the colors. I've always taken umbrage with the fact that he has that lifeline torso that has the pouches on the front just because it's a little clunky with the web gear.
Yeah.
He's a fine figure, but to me, this one is another, you know, he's to complete a set, whereas Psych Out I really like on its own merits.
I get you. I feel that. What about, we see, I do love this figure again. Like, I love the ridiculousness of the color. And obviously, I dressed up as him, so, you know, I must have some sort of connection to this guy. But what about Blizzard? Because I think we have similar thoughts on Blizzard, and that's this thing of, I feel like there should have been way more new tooling with Blizzard.
Yeah, so I know we've previously discussed our thoughts on the upcoming FSS 8 Blizzard. And yeah, like you said, I mean, it just doesn't work. Without the new tooling, it's not Blizzard. It's not even close to Blizzard. That said, I have a really strange, completely different feeling about this figure, which is that he's not Tiger Force Blizzard in my mind. Again, like, that just doesn't work. Like, he doesn't in any way, shape, or form resemble Blizzard. But I, like, both love and hate this figure simultaneously.
So you love what it actually looks like and the build, but not connected with that character.
Yeah, like, you know, to me, like, that Blizzard has such an iconic helmet, and he's got such an iconic, you know, look with, like, the stripe running down the center of his torso. And I'm not speaking about Tiger Force specifically, just the character Blizzard, like, the sculpt.
Yeah.
He has such a unique look all around. And
he's not as bulky as this as well either. He's very much more a practical guy in the snow, too, like a very more form-fitting uniform as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think for that reason, it just, all of the, because you can get away with having a figure that almost in no way is an actual match of the vintage and yet still very much captures the essence of the vintage.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one just doesn't do that. Especially, I think the head is more than anything is obviously the real killer, because that head looks more like it would be a match for Cold Front than Blizzard. But
it's the fact that Blizzard is known without his helmet as well. Like, he's very, like, he's got that iconic face and head sculpt and the black hair with the Tiger Force version and the kind of light brown with the regular version. But, like, I feel like that head is so synonymous with Blizzard that to not have a removable helmet is a little bit sacrilegious here.
Yeah, it just, for that reason, it just doesn't work. But before I sound like a total hater, I actually really like this figure. And I don't even know why. I think that part of it is that I tend to look at an assortment of figures as a whole, and kind of I look at them and I weigh the color balance and the accessories and the character choices. And I think that when you look at the final 12 overall, it's such an amazing assortment of colors. Like, it's just, and there's so many crazy accessories, and like it feels like a great variety. Like, it's a really strong assortment in that way. And I feel like this figure, as the only figure to really have like a predominantly yellow deco, really sticks out in all the best ways, and I love him for that. And he almost looks like he could maybe be like some kind of like roadside hazard person or something in the snowstorm in that outfit, you know. But
him and Hit and Run are just like the safety, like, team, aren't they?
Yeah.
Health and safety and Run, that's what they should be called.
Then when you look at this figure and you compare it to the vintage one, if that's our goal, if, you know, if we're trying to emulate that,
yeah,
it just misses the mark in so many ways. Like, I don't know why he has gray accents when the original has green. I don't know why he has such a small amount of tiger stripes on here. Why did they not paint the inside collar or his entire hood in the tiger deco since the original has that? Because I feel like that would have given him a little more splash of tiger to make him fit with the team better. You know, they're minor grievances, and I that's a changing those things wouldn't have really made me like this figure any more or less, but just questions I have in my mind, I guess, as to the execution of this figure.
I think the image on Yojo is a little bit off, because the version of Blizzard I've ever seen has had grey accents, mate.
Oh, okay. Well, that would explain that, maybe. I don't have that figure, obviously, because I'm still waiting for you to send it to me.
It's on its way. A carded one, yeah?
Oh, yeah, even better, yeah.
No, but yeah, it does look like it's green on Yojo, but in actual fact, I think that's just the lighting. It's more of a dark grey.
Okay, well, then I take back some of what I said. That salvages it a little bit.
You are right, though, because I look at that handlebar, you know, backpack, and I think that's really iconic with him, because, you know, then you can make that amazing little vehicle that, you know, is just ridiculous, where he holds the handlebars, puts the skis on it, and then you've got this like weird ski mobile type thing. But yeah, like the tiger stripes are way more prominent on the vintage one. Like, there's a much thicker stripe running through it that goes into the kind of like the neck piece as well, like the fluffy neck piece. And I just think, yeah, like I'm a little bit upset that they couldn't go a little bit more form-fitting, and B, new tooling to get that, just to get us a head, maybe even just use another head that you know, that we've seen maybe, or hasn't been used much in the run, but you could say is like, you know, that's a good one for Blizzard, and then just make a helmet for it. It just seems like a bit of a missed opportunity there. Anyway, I must also say, I love Hit and Run. I think he's absolutely awesome. And that's just to say, you know, to be against what you're saying. Okay, moving on then. And now we get into the Supersonic Fighters first, because there is a difference here. Even though they're called Sonic Fighters by the club, this Road Pig and his accompanying Lieutenant Falcon were actually Supersonic Fighters. So let's discuss Road Pig first. What do you think of Road Pig, Adam?
Can you hear my heart beating through the microphone right now? That's how much I love this figure.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh. Oh my god.
Screw the haters. I love this figure.
It's like the clouds parted open and then he descended from the heavens into our collections.
Pig Angel.
Oh, Pig Angel, yeah. It's a masterpiece. I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. It's absolutely beautiful. Everything about it is so awesome.
I mean, this could be a Turtles character. It's that, or a Toxic Crusaders character, couldn't it?
He could be like pre-mutation Bebop or something.
Oh,
yeah, like,
yes. Yeah. No, he really could, especially in that first episode of the cartoon.
Yeah.
When you see Rocksteady, I think he looks like, more so because of that kind of like flat top and the chubbiness. But yeah, definitely Bebop's a bit broader and he's got the cooler hair, hasn't he? But I think, yeah, a mixture of the two, really, isn't it? That's brilliant. I'll show that in the video. Just beautiful, isn't he? I love the colors, absolutely love them.
Oh, he's so great. And I really like, I mean, I've seen some people complain about this too, because people complain about everything, but I'm actually glad that they changed the legs too from the previous Road Pig.
Yeah,
just because I think, you know, it's nice to give a little variety in the tooling. Also, another nice little addition that I don't really see discussed anywhere is that they've included his wrist crossbow piece, which previously was only available in the Night Landing Craft pack.
Yeah.
So, because it didn't come with the 2011 7-pack version of Road Pig. So that's real nice. But yeah, I think this one just, it captured all the best things about the vintage one and made them modern and maybe even better. And also, I like that they gave him the more tan skin. It's not quite as, nuclear
orange
as the 91. Yeah, he doesn't look like an actual orange this time, but
doesn't look the air adventurer.
but definitely a noticeable difference from the previous 2011 version, and I really like that. But I'll never run out of good things to say about this one. And the use of the Destro lower snap-on pieces to emulate the shin guards of the 91, brilliant. Just love this figure.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm gonna go ahead on this one and say that I'm a real big fan of Falcon too. I love the fact that they went pretty much almost exact with the deco, and didn't do something like they did with Recoil, where it wasn't the digital camo as such. And a lot of people were saying, well, how come they haven't done his sleeves? And well, in actual fact, if you look at the original figure, he doesn't have the deco on his sleeves. That's why they've really gone close to the original figure in terms of the deco. I would suggest that different arms might have been better to get the kind of more, to get it closer with the sleeves.
Yeah, shorter sleeves.
But it doesn't bother me, really, honestly. As long as we don't get those, I'm pretty sure they're not on there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't get those f***ing stupid shoulder pads.
No, we don't. And you know what's so funny about that, though, is the previous three Falcons have all had those, and those all have the shorter sleeves that, yeah, that emulate the 91. So, I mean, if given the option, I'd much rather he had these three-quarter sleeves that don't have the shoulder pads, because I'm with you. I detest them.
Agreed. So I think what they've done is actually genius with this. Like, I think that's the best way to go with it. Who cares if he doesn't have shorter sleeves? Like, I think he looks great. It's a really good representation of that figure. The only other thing I would suggest is why they didn't do the backpack the same color as the one he has in the Sonic Fighters.
Like, yep, I was gonna say that's my one hater comment with this figure that I will never understand. Why do you pay such close attention to the original figure that you even match his sleeves, but then the one really iconic accessory this figure comes with you don't? Like, that's just such a head scratcher for me. And you could almost say, like, oh, well, it's because they toned it down, but then, and that's why he has the olive drab, and that makes sense. I could buy that logic. But then why does he have blue blades on it? You know, it's such a,
yeah,
it's just such a strange choice. And I, you know, it's a minor grievance. It doesn't matter. I mean, that pack isn't identical to the original anyway. I won't even probably display him with that pack, but all the same, it's just kind of a little like nitpicky thing that does tweak me a little.
I think the only reason they went with that is because it mimics, even though he has them on his body anyway, but it mimics the green straps on the figure. You know, the kind of like arms coming over almost mimic that coverage on the figure. But that's the only thing I could really get from it as to why they went with that. And in the end, you're right, I'm probably not going to have the backpack on him. But I love it. I think it's great.
On that note, how do you feel about the straps that he does have? Because the web gear that came with the 2008 version is a much more accurate match to the original 91 Sonic Falcon, if they wanted to go that route. Do you care about that at all? Or
No, I think you're right, though. I do think it would have been better to go with that. But I don't know. He just looks so good. I don't mind. You know, I'm just happy with the figure. I'm not gonna be like super nitpicky with it, because that Road Pig and Falcon 2 pack is absolute f-ing fire. Like, it is, it's so hot, it's burning my hands. And that takes us on to the next double, which again has been getting a lot of heat. Dodger especially. So Dodger and Viper are in the other two pack for the, and these are Sonic Fighters as opposed to Super Sonic Fighters, if we're being very, very technical. They're all going to be Sonic Fighters under the club banner, but in terms of the homage they're being, you know, they're being kind of copied on, or, you know, homaged on, then they're actually Sonic Fighters. Dodger is really cool, I think. I don't have an issue with any. It's the same figure, and it's just, and I think they got the deco right on from the original figure. What are your thoughts on Dodger?
I think it's quite good. I don't really have a strong opinion about him one way or the other. Like, he was never a favorite character of mine or anything. And if you look at the 1990 figure, I mean, it's actually, the deco is incredibly close. And
yeah.
The build is actually, for having no new tooling, you know, from the neck down, it's a really pretty solid match. The only like minor thing I can say maybe is that, and we, you know, we've had this discussion before, but in the vintage line, all of the O-ring figures are the same size, and yet for whatever reason, at least for me, mentally, you imagine some of them as being bigger than others. Like, you imagine some guys would be stockier, you know, shorter, taller, whatever. And I think that because Dodger is a heavy ordnance operator, and I, you know, and because he's got, you know, the guns out kind of thing, I always imagine him as being a little more like kind of short, stocky, buff, you know. And this build is very
lean.
Yeah, very lean, normal, you know, very thin, very tall. And so I think that visually kind of maybe makes some disassociation with this and the vintage one. But, you know, whatever. He's had, 28 years to paleo, so maybe he trimmed it down. I don't know. But that head sculpt, which was made specifically for Dodger from the 2017 pack, convention set, rather, I think is a really good sculpt. And I think that this figure really works. I mean, for what it is, you couldn't really do any better.
I agree. Totally agree. And you look at it and you know it's Dodger immediately. Immediately. There's no umming and erring. It's like when you can look at a character and immediately pick them out, which, let's face it, you can with every single one of these figures. With the exception, I would say, of Blizzard, it's only like by color that you can really pick out Blizzard. But at the same time, like, the rest of them are just so on point for their characters. I feel like it's, like, you know, perfect. The Viper, oh my God, the Viper looks gorgeous. I love that orange and gold and then the red visor. I think that's just so sick.
Yeah, I love it. As a kid, this was the first proper, like, Cobra Viper figure I had because obviously the first one was it 86, predates, you know, my collecting. So it was a really exciting thing to find this figure at retail. And I've always thought that he looks really, I don't know if regal is the right word, but he's always looked really, like, expensive. That, you know, pumpkin orange and gold is just a really nice combo.
Yeah, like he's some sort of ceremonial trooper as opposed to an actual practical one. But still, yeah, brilliant. I think he's great. And I love, always reminds me of that packaging art, because I love the art on the Sonic Fighters and the Super Sonic Fighters cards. There's some of the absolutely most beautiful pieces of art in the Joe line. And that's, you know, saying something. There's some absolute stonkers in there. But there's something really, really awesome about those pieces. And one, like, when we found out that a lot of them had the faces of, they were copying some of the employees at Hasbro, and they were showing us the images of those people, like Kirk and as Law and all that kind of stuff. It just made me, like, I don't know, just, like, really love these figures even more. Something that I think is worth mentioning are the missing figures from the Sonic and Super Sonic Fighters figures that they didn't get around to do. So Dial Tone in the Sonic Fighters, they didn't do, for obvious reasons. There wasn't, like, a build of that particular Dial Tone at hand, so I understand why they didn't do him. Psych-Out is obviously from the Super Sonic, and Zap from the Super Sonic Fighters. Now, I understand why those two weren't done, for the similar reasons. Like, the build, you'd need a lot of new tooling, and so on and so forth. I get that. But Rock and Roll and Blood, we have just literally had Rock and Roll and Major Blood in, you know, very close proximity to now. Rock and Roll version 2 as a membership incentive, Major Blood as a convention set with the Python Patrol. Why on earth were those two not done?
You know, it's a really good thing I'm not a betting man, because when the convention Major Blood was shown, immediately my brain was like, oh, well, it's obvious. They're going to make Sonic Fighters. Yep. Like, you know, duh. Like, I would have bet my life I was so positive of that.
Same.
And kind of the same thing with
Rock and Roll.
Yeah, Rock and Roll. And also, like, there's been others, though, like the Headman Dojo thing. Like, it is weird. And obviously decisions had to be made. And when you get to the end of the line, you know, some of those decisions are going to be harder and harder. But yeah, that one is perplexing. The only thing I will say, at least with Major Blood, is, thankfully, because we got the second set of extra heads with the convention set, if you really wanted to, you've got a really nice head now to base a custom on if you wanted to do that.
That's a very good point. Yeah, you can have a Tashless one as well.
Yeah. Well, I figure if you're gonna get the parts to build a new body and paint that, you know, no big deal to paint a little mustache on there.
True. Mine would look hideous. Okay, so with those not done, here's something I'm throwing out here, and I'm throwing out here on the episode because I want everyone to hear that I've said it, and I want it to be in stone. We're not getting a 13th figure as such. Do you think they have an extra 2-pack that they're holding back from us? Do you think there's a mystery 2-pack that will pop up maybe at the last minute, maybe at pre-order, which might be coming up very soon, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, there's also this, and then it's Rock and Roll versus Major Blood 2-pack. Do you think that could happen? Am I just being ridiculous here, or is this a possibility?
I will say this: if that happened, I would be as surprised as anyone, and so I, as much as I would love to see that happen, I think realistically, knowing that you've got the Christmas shopping season right around the corner, and we've already had the convention and FSS8 in this year, I think at some point, you know, people are just kind of tapped, and I really think it's hard for all of us to accept this, but we didn't even originally think there was going to be an FSS7, let alone an 8, let alone a Final 12. And, you know, at some point the ride does have to end, which is heartbreaking for me to say. But, and, you know, I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I'd love for it to, but I certainly wouldn't expect it.
Well, because I'm who I am, I tend to hold on to these things. And I tend to also throw as much at the wall to see what sticks. So it looks like I know what I'm talking about. But if you actually go back to all of the things I've ever said, I literally say everything. So I just literally, I literally say everything. One of those things is bound to work out. So yeah, I'm just putting it in stone right now that I have a feeling that we're going to get a Rock and Roll Major Blood 2-pack as a mystery pack. I'm just putting it out there.
What are we going to call that series? Oh wait, there's two more.
the final 13 and 14, it'll be called. In any case, let's rock and roll on, as I've mentioned him, to the final two figures of the final 12, which do have a bit of a funny, I suppose, like, there's an edge to this kind of like annoyance in the fandom where they feel like there's some wasted slots. And I think these two are perfect examples of what the fandom believes on the whole as a wasted slot, which I don't know. I like the fact that we get to finish out a team in the same uniform design, but at the same time, in terms of priorities, what are your thoughts, Adam? Personally, I'd have loved to see these two just done in the convention set. Just do them in the convention set as exclusives, and then for the final 12, you've got, you know, two slots to maybe do, and I'm just putting it out here, Rock and Roll and Blood.
I know that there is some contention about these two, especially because I know, obviously, a lot of people feel that we already got this covered in the 2011 seven pack.
Yeah.
For me, and I love those figures. When that set came out, I mean, especially with the connections to G.I. Joe the movie because of having the Renegades in there, I mean, I was all about that seven pack. But just like that seven pack didn't finish the team, we would have had the reverse situation here where with the recent 2018 con set and the attendee items, if they hadn't done these two, then we would have had, you know, the team unfinished in the other way. So
yeah,
of course we're never going to get Sergeant Slaughter in that deco, and that's a bummer, but I consider both of these figures a very welcome addition, and I'm really glad they're in here. And if I had to choose the final 12, I actually think I would have put these in here as well.
Okay. So you wouldn't have. I fully expected these as exclusives at the con. I honestly
sure.
did. It seemed to make a lot of sense, really.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, if I was the one in charge of distributing what was going where, it would make sense to have made these attendee items and to have made the Sonic Fighters that were at con a part of this. But then you run the risk of people saying, "Well, I don't like Sonic Fighters, so I don't need the final 12." And so I think that this created a nice assortment for everyone.
I see. Yeah,
and yep. Also, of course, you had Law and Tunnel Rat, which are based on Kirk and Larry at JoeCon, and that was a nice thing. So, you know, I think everything played out the way it did for a reason. I mean, yeah, it would have been great to have just been done with Slaughter's Marauders all in one shot at the con, but these did need to find some way to come out. And if you know, for me as a completionist, I buy everything, and it doesn't matter where it came from. So I've been building Ninja Force for a decade through Dollar General and conventions and FSS, and it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, one day I'm going to have a set of Ninja Force. So I don't really care how I got these figures, if they were from the final 12 or the con or whatever. You know, you could debate the merits of what makes the most sense as a distribution strategy, but if you want the figures, you're going to get them, and that's all that matters. So I'm happy to have these. And you know, like with Barbecue, they've gone back to his original, is it 2008 legs that are a match to the vintage figure versus the airtight legs that were featured on the 2011 version.
Yeah.
You know, again, you could say that airtight sculpt is better, but we've seen it a bunch. And at least this, you know, if the goal of the convention, Slaughter Marauders, was to make a perfect match to the 89 figures, then this achieves that. So I know that people could debate this one forever, but I'm happy with this figure.
Cool. And Low Light, I must admit, is a close one for me, because I really, as a kid from the UK, the only Low Light we got was the Slaughter's Marauders deco one, and it's slightly different to the US Slaughter's Marauders, a very slight paint kind of deco difference, and we're talking like very, very minutia kind of I suppose shading, like it's really, really, really close. But that's the only version we got. So I had that Low Light. So, and Low Light was a very, I loved that character, the figure. I thought he was brilliant. I don't think he got enough love in the comics and the cartoon. So I was really happy when he was featured in any way, shape or form. And to get that figure and only have that Slaughter's Marauders one was a confusing one, because I was still aware of what was being released in the States. Cause we would go there on holiday quite often. Like we went a number of years in the 90s. So I got, you know, late 80s, early 90s, I got to see some pretty amazing toys on the shelves. And to see Low Light in his Slaughter's Marauders in the US, but then to have it in the UK with none of that paraphernalia on the card, like it was literally just the figure. And, you know, like it was one of those things where it just adds to the confusion. But at the same time, that figure's really, really close to me. So to get this version of it with this deco, I was happy, like you say, with that seven pack. I thought, oh my god, I've finally got a Low Light Marauder kind of figure, and it's amazing. And I really loved the deco, and I thought it was a really cool update and everything for the kind of Pursuit of Cobra era. But I think getting this is just, I feel like they've really gone, without knowing it, they've given us a bunch of UK homages without really knowing it. So obviously the Tiger Force are European exclusives, but we got them in the UK. The Lowlight is a UK exclusive deco for Lowlight in the UK. And the other interesting thing, which I've mentioned before in the past, and did say that FSS with the Treadmark figure was the UK version, because we called him Treadmark. So, like, I feel like there were all these, like, really cute, unintentional UK homages they keep doing. And this one, for me, just is really close to my heart, so I'm really glad to be getting him in this deco.
End of, yeah. I was just looking at the UK Slaughter Marauders deco to see how it compared to the US version, and I do see what you mean, that the colors are just sort of a little off, and
it's very, very slight. Yeah, very slight. I mean, it's one of those things that you'd see on a Jody Classified panel where they had both figures next to each other, and you're looking at the slide thinking, there's no difference there. And then Pat says something like, as you can see here, this maroon is different to that maroon. And then you go, oh, no, yeah, now I can see it. Thank you, Pat. Like, I feel like Pat has to explain things to me bit by bit for me to understand them, even if I'm looking at something and can't, you know, I just can't use my own eyes. But yes.
One more thing on that Lowlight.
Go for it.
It's a really good figure, and I am glad that they did it. And you know, almost everything I said about barbecue applies to this one. Two tiny things. They did not paint the lime green lower half of his torso, which I guess is, I don't know, that could just be an aesthetic choice, could be a deco thing to cost savings, I don't know, but I guess it's noteworthy regardless.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, the one grievance I've always had about this Lowlight, and this applies to, you know, every time it's been released now, which has been several, the original Pursuit of Cobra and the 50th and the 7-pack Slaughter Marauders, that torso piece, whatever, the jacket, web gear, whatever you want to call it, the secondary, I've always felt like it's a little bit ill-fitting, and it seems very bulky on him.
Yeah, both of those things.
And then if you take it off, he's got this extremely small torso.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, same problem here. It's obviously, certainly nothing to do with the club or this figure specifically, but I guess just noteworthy, because, you know, I've always imagined if you were somebody that was trying to, you know, creep around in the night, surely you'd want to be as stealth as possible and not look like you're, you know,
well, not just that,
wearing a snowsuit. But
you can't get him in any sniper positions, which is the really annoying thing.
It really hinders his mobility.
Like, you, as a sniper, you've got to do the laying on the chest thing. You've got to do all sorts of different awkward positions, which you just cannot do with that figure. Like, you just can't. Even if you're like Dave Proctor level posing capabilities or Justin Bell level posing capabilities, you cannot get him to in good sniper positions. I always thought that when they were making this figure, they should have made it so his head could lean back a lot, like, so you could really like put that head looking almost directly up in the sky.
Yeah,
because some of those figures you can do that, but I feel like the way they did his hair on the back meant that, you know, there's no way you're getting that head in any position other than looking straight ahead or down.
Yeah, and he has a really high collar that hinders it too.
Exactly. But I, the bulkiness of that jacket, you think, you know, make a much thinner, much smaller, but, you know, obviously same kind of detail, kind of top, and I think you got it nailed. But unfortunately, or even just, you know, go with a torso, like sculpt the torso, you know, from just the base and not have a secondary. And I think that you might be in a better position there. But that's, again, like, what can you do? It's an awesome figure to look at. Like, just standing there or just, you know, posing or whatever is very cool looking. But the fact you can't get him into the position that he's actually needed for is a bit awkward. But yeah, I do like the Lowlight figure though, because I did a Dino Hunters custom of that particular version, which I'll flash up for people to see. But I do like that figure. So overall, mate, what are your thoughts on the final 12?
It's hard, you know, because how do you end it? You know, it's like, I mean, we could sit here and talk for hours about every coulda, woulda, shoulda scenario, end of the day, like, this is it, you know? Like, yeah, we have. So I think ultimately there's always going to be things that I think you would never get the same answer from any two collectors. The best thing that I can say about this lineup, though, is I'm satisfied by it. I don't think you'd ever get anyone that would say that you knocked it out of the park, because you just can't. Because if you're really a hardcore G.I. Joe fan, 12 spots would never be enough to satisfy everything that you want to finish in modern era.
Yeah.
But I think for what this is, it's great. It completes, or as complete as we're going to get, of Slaughter's Marauders. It officially completes Tiger Force. It gets us real close to completing Sonic Fighters, which we hadn't even started until this summer.
It's impressive. That is really impressive.
It's impressive, yeah. And and you know, it gave us two more AT guys, which I know, you know, that's probably the most minor interest sector of the fandom, but in a funny twist, I fully expect that those two figures, Coils and Black Spider, will actually end up being some of the more valuable in the future, just because they, you know, they're technically new characters.
Unique. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
unique. But like I said before about like color balance, when you look at this assortment as a whole, when you see all 12 figures together, like it just pops. Like it looks so good. It's very visually interesting. Like you just look at them and you're like, you've got every color of the spectrum, you know, you've got dulls, brights, darks. It's, you know, it's just really cool. And
I must admit, the guys that are like hardcore adamant military, you know, they just want it kind of like rooted in reality, they're the ones that have been like adamantly against it, you know, like just, oh, this is kind of crap, what's with the colors and everything. But they're not making this up. These are figures that have appeared in the vintage line, so don't think that this is the club making stuff up. Apart from Coils, you know, everything else has been something that's almost identical in deco to what has come before. So this is not brand new stuff. This is like, you know, just giving nods to like other people that might be interested in this stuff that aren't you. You know, like I said, I'm not being like salty or anything, but when there have been things that I haven't been fully invested in, like I haven't been like totally over the moon about them doing, I still find something about it that's interesting. Because to be honest, in everything in G.I. Joe, every single iteration we've had, everything that's come out, I have been interested in some way, shape or form. Fun School. I was never that into Fun School. But when I started researching about it and seeing the different variations and the card art, which is just hilariously awesomely bad, but awesome at the same time. Like, that stuff really makes me giggle now, but I love it. And I love seeing that Fun School stuff. And the fact that, you know, you look at some of that Fun School stuff and there are so many variations that it just becomes ridiculous to try and collect it all, because there's no two Fun School figures seem to share the same deco or the same pattern or the same, you know, structure. It's just insanity, and I love that. So there's some, you know, I wasn't into that, but then as it starts coming out and you start seeing more and more about these things, for me it was sitting in on Joe Declassified panels. Because the more I learn about this, the intricacies, the ins and outs, the details, the minutiae of this massive, massive brand, the more I want to broaden my horizons with different things. And yes, I was in the UK when the Tiger Force stuff came out, so obviously that is a strong bond, a strong connection. But I had nothing to do with Night Force, didn't know it existed until later on in life. And then when I saw the Night Force stuff, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then I learn more about it, and then I see concept art, and then I see, you know, the Toys R Us exclusive aspect of it, and then all this other stuff coming out, and I'm like, damn, there's a lot more to this than you know, I previously thought, and it's great. So I think a bit of knowledge, research and info never hurt anybody, and it also really did make me way more interested in a lot of these things they brought out. But anyway, I'm just trying to change all the haters' responses to the European Tiger Force exclusives. What about Potatings then, quickly, Adam? Starting with Coils.
He's a solid 4. I mean, the fact that he's a new character obviously gets him a lot of points. On that same token, a new head would have really pushed it over the edge, but I think the colors are awesome. The kind of interesting little AT backstory thing. I just really like him. I don't even know what it is about him, but definitely a solid 4.
Agreed. Same with me. For similar reasons, we're getting a new character. He's very interesting looking, and the figure looks very solid too. And I love the fact he's got a little animal companion, aka a snake. Black Spider Rendezvous.
I think another 4. He's just a very versatile figure. And also, I've had some ideas for customs for a long time to make use of that flocked hair Joe head. So I'm real excited to get another one.
Nice. And Archer. I'm going to go 3.5 because I do like the figure. He's just not, I don't think he's as amazing as Coils, but only very, very slightly. Tiger Force Tunnel Rat.
This one's probably like a 2.5, 3 for me. He definitely fills a spot, but he's not the most visually exciting compared to some of the other UK Tiger Force guys.
Screw you, I'm going 9. Psych out.
That's a solid 5.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I've got a little bias with him being my first foreign figure, but I just think this is one of those ones where the color scheme just really works very well.
Yeah, I'm going 9. No, 15 on this one.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Hit and run. Tiger Force hit and run.
Like Tunnel Rat. Probably a 3. Like, I like him, but I don't love him.
Did I change your mind on him by dressing up as him? And now you're on a call with me, so you feel like you've got to at least give him some props.
It was a great cosplay, but I think the potato's going to have to stand.
I'm going 25 for this one. What about... For obvious reasons. What about Blizzard?
Like I said, real love hate here. On its own merits, as its own figure, it's pretty cool. Like, he's probably like, I think he's better looking as a figure than this Tunnel Rat or Hit and Run, but as an homage to the vintage Blizzard, he kind of misses the mark, so he's like a 3.5 for me.
I'm going 3 on this one, but only because of those reasons, for the fact that it is a good, cool figure. You get loads of accessories, he's stacked, he's got loads going on. Obviously, the color does tie it to the figure, but still, it needed new tooling for me, and I was a bit upset with the original Blizzard that came out. This is just a yellow version of that.
Yeah.
So 3. Still not a bad score, really, when you think about it. Road Pig, or Pig Angel, as we're calling him.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with 17.8, I think.
Yeah, sack of potatoes for Road
Pig.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because he's going to need to eat them. Falcon.
He can smash them into fries with a cinder block. And Falcon, I'm gonna have to give him a solid 12 potatoes. He can chop the potatoes into fries with his telepack as well.
Yeah, I'm going General Joe's 5 on this one, just because I think he's the best Falcon we've had, in all honesty.
Oh, easily the best modern era Falcon, which I don't know how much that says. But also, I had this was the first Falcon I had as a kid, so always have an affinity. Love the digital camo, like. You know, he's a great figure.
What about Dodger?
Like we discussed, like, he is a great representation of the vintage figure in modern form, but something still feels a little off, I think, because of the slender build. Don't really have a huge affinity for him as a character. Definitely not as cool as Red Pig or Falcon, but still really good on its own merits. So I'm going to go with a solid 4 for Dodger.
Someone did mention he doesn't get his kind of iconic weapon that he had in the previous version, but I mean, he got it in his previous version, and this is technically the weapon that he's got on his card art, so we get one of those iconic weapons at least for this particular figure. So it kind of makes sense to me that they didn't throw the other weapon in there as well. Plus, he's only got 2 hands. But I have to admit, I do like this figure. He's creeping under the radar a little bit here, I think, personally. And I do like this figure, so I'm going to go 3.5 for him. What about Viper?
Easy 5. He's about as perfect of a representation as you can get. And it's interesting because, I mean, I know I've talked some mad smack about the excessive reuse of Shock Trooper parts on this show. But when it works, it works. And... this in 2011, when Pursuit of Cobra was extended into a 4th, 5th, and 6th wave, when it was originally only intended, I believe, to be those first 3 waves, they did a lot of cobbling together of pieces from unreleased stuff and you know, some holdovers from Rise of Cobra. And one of the figures that they Frankenjoed together was a Cobra Viper made of Shock Trooper parts, but reusing the 2008 Cobra Viper head and secondary, and it really worked. And the recipe is still good here nearly a decade later. So
yeah, I'm gonna give it a sack of potatoes. It's another high favorite of mine too. Barbecue, Slaughter's Marauders.
It's really hard to rate this one. I mean, it does exactly what you expect it to do. It's nothing exciting, it's nothing fancy, but it's technically a perfect representation of the vintage figure. So if we're judging it on those merits, I guess he's a 5.
I'm gonna give him a 4. And you know, again, for similar reasons on that one. What about Lowlight?
If I have to measure him on the same scale I measured Barbecue, then I guess because he's missing that lime green stripe there on the torso, and I guess because his brown sleeves don't wrap all the way around the top, if we're going to be really ridiculous here, he's not a perfect match of the vintage, so he'll get a 4.
I was going to give him like a sack of potatoes just for the fact that, you know, that's the version we got in the UK. So I'm just going to go with a lowly 5 on this one. I feel
a
like
lowly perfect score.
I feel like my rating system has broken into a General's Joe's kind of thing. So no one can really base this. Also, don't be fooled that this is some sort of FSS burst battle, because it isn't. We will be doing this once we have them in hand. The battle is done only when we have them in hand and we know what the figures are like in hand, because that has a lot to do with the battle aspect. We can be completely won over by a figure when it's in our hands. And that is a massive, massive thing. So Justin will be joining us for the final 12 battle, which will come in about 7 months when we the way we're doing the actual FSS battles. But we are doing FSS 4 very soon as well. I must kind of point that out. Okay. Thank you, Adam, for jumping on and chatting those reveals for over an hour. I didn't realize we were talking for so long. But I'll try and get this out as soon as possible. Thank you.
No doubt, homie.
No doubt, Holmes. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Adam Riches. Adam snitches get stitches, Riches, Madam is. See you next time, and as always, Final Force. I mean, sorry, Full Force. You're right, we should do on Full Force. Anyway.
Final Full Force, y'all.
Final Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.